what Brother Pike says to you sometimes, it's offensive. You know, the Bible said to lift up your voice like a trumpet, show my people of their sins. And sometimes I lift up my voice like a trumpet and I say things to you. And it reveals sin, it reveals iniquity. But it's not because I'm upset with you. As Paul said again, though rude in speech, I'm not rude in knowledge. I know what I'm saying and why I'm doing it. But preachers sometimes are rude in speech. They don't mean to do that. Take a real God preacher. Now, I challenge you to do this sometimes. Take a real God preacher. Talk with him, and you'll find he's just as tender as a newborn babe. He might huff and he might puff and he might roar like a lion. He might shake his hands and he might dance like a wild Indian. And he might sound like he's going to huff and puff and blow the house down. But you get beyond that. You get over there to his heart and you'll find he's so sweet. He's as mellow as a ripe apple. And them things that he's doing, he's at war. He's got in that chant like a heavenly dance. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. And he's swinging that sword. He's in battle. He's done got into that anointing. And he's looking at the sheep. And he's looking at the wolf. And he's looking at those that are trying to injure the sheep of God and the people of God. And he's done got in there with that sword. And he's swinging. And he's a shouting. And he's a hollering. And he's a chanting. You know, and he's like little David. He's got that little stone of the word in that sling of faith, and it's going around and around, and he's a hopping up that hill just as fast as he can, and he intends to do away with the giant of opposition. Can you praise the Lord? See, they're in battle. The Bible said if you spare any of them, they will be pricks in your side. So off the preacher goes, but he loves you. If you've got a problem, go to him. Tell him your problem, and like a mother, tenderly, he will help you. Now, as I said, I'm a little tired tonight. Maybe I won't be so exuberant. Sometimes I think some of you think I'll get a little bit beside myself. Maybe I'll be held down a little tonight to take more in a trot instead of getting in a gallop. As a boy going to the field, I used to run down to the field, and I'd jump on my horse, a mule, whatever was available. And sometimes I'd take off in a gallop. And sometimes it was bumpity, 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 bumpity so much, you know, until I changed the stride a little bit. Oh, all right. Chapter 2, the book of Job. Beginning at the first verse. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and doeth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? It said that on a certain day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, that Satan came also. Now, here we are, this is a certain day. And here we are, the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God, John said. Here we are, the sons of God. What have we done? We've come to present ourselves before God. But the Bible says, when the sons of God came, that Satan came also. Which means that there are temples of God here in this building. And there are temples of Lucifer in this building. There are temples, divine temples of the great Holy Ghost. And in this building, there are bodies and temples of Lucifer. Like Jesus, there was dispute. The Bible speaks of corrupt men and dispute. Where is all disputing? It's not corrupt. Paul said, I disputed the scriptures daily. But a lot of men of corrupt minds that don't know what they're doing. Running is one that beateth the air, that's in corruption and dispute, blind, and they really believe that what they're saying is right because they're blind. These men are filled with the spirit of Lucifer. And when the surface has come, whether it's at Bethlehem or wherever it's at, maybe another place of the world, when the sons of God come to present themselves, what happens? Satan comes also. He comes within those people. For he has to give an account to God just like everybody else. Right now, as I told you before, the blood is on the seat of atonement. It's right here on the seat of atonement. Now let's look at it again for just a minute. It's on the seat of atonement. How is it that Lucifer come up into the presence of God? That couldn't be, but it was. How did he do that? There was no way for him to do that except the blood of Jesus had been shed for all humanity. Now don't run away when I say this. The blood had been shed for all humanity, and Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And today, I say this again to you, today, all of those people out there, murderers, liars, cheats, robbers, fornicators, and the Bible said such was some of you until you were washed, until you were clean, until God took all that out of your life. But all of those people out there that are still in that kind of condition, why do they get by like they do? Why do they do that? Because God can't see their sins. Come on, folks. I said God don't see their sins. When that man grabbed that little baby and just beats the brains out against the wall, takes the little baby, puts him down, some man or woman, puts him down in the hot steaming tub. God doesn't see that sin. God doesn't see that wrong. If God saw that, he'd pick that man up and tear him into a million pieces. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So then, God doesn't see those things. God cannot look upon iniquity. His eyes are holy and he cannot look at this world because it's filled with iniquity. So what does God do? God has to do as it was in the days of Joseph. There when the man Pharaoh, he couldn't understand the dream. He couldn't understand the mystery. He wanted somebody to tell him. And Joseph stood in between. And there you are, you see Christ. The Lord standing in between. And every time the Heavenly Father looks this way, he looks through the blood of his Son and he doesn't see that iniquity. And he doesn't see that wrong. All he sees is mercy. And he hears that cry, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And so then the world goes on and everything goes along good. And so then when the wicked get sick, they can go to the hospital. They have a healing medicine. When they have a toothache, they can go to the dentist. When they're hungry, they can go to the store. When they want something as to eat or to drink, they can go frolic along the beach and eat and drink and still get by with many things. Why is that? Because the blood is this on the seat of atonement. This is how that Satan was able to come into the presence of the Heavenly Father. He got into the human beings that have an allotted period of grace, which is dispensational grace. And he got into them and he lives in them and he's religious like Cain was. And he loves to hear the word of God because he loves to know about the word of God. But he loves to pervert it to his own way of life. Those people hear the word of God and they know the word of God just like you do. Some of them can quote it verbatim. I had a man that come through here, he could quote it. I've never seen anybody like him. He was a walking Bible if I ever seen one. If there was such a thing, I don't believe there is. But if there was, you know, outside Jesus, he was a walking Bible. I've never heard anybody quote scripture like that. But let me tell you this. Those people that are out there in the world, those people, they are filled with the powers of evil. And they do that evil. And they get by with it. And the Bible said these are ungodly men that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is, they do the thing they want to do. And they frolic in the things they want to frolic in while they take advantage of this dispensational grace. So then, that grace is there. And those people are out there. And they are doing those things out there. See, those people are out there doing those things and they can come into the presence of God. Come right into the presence of God. Revelation 12 says, when the woman was in travail, ready to bring forth this child, there was the old red dragon. there was the old red dragon. I know when we speak of Revelation 12, I know the woman, we speak of Israel. I know that there's a natural Israel, there's a spiritual Israel. There's a natural Jesus that's going to return to those natural Jews, and don't you ever let anybody tell you there isn't. A lot of people say, well, it's all spiritual, and he's not really coming back with the nails in his hands. But that spirit of Antichrist, don't see that. Because he'll be back with the nails in his hands, he'll be back with the scars on his head, he'll be back with the bruises on his back, and he'll appear to a natural Israel as a natural head to bring about the resurrection of the dead. Paul in the Revelation, when he saw this, he said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection, or, he said, life from the dead. So then we know what Paul was speaking of concerning this. There is a Jesus that's coming back. But before this Jesus can come back, there is a Christ. There is a Christ that has come back into the heart of every believer. He is returning, and like a thief in the night, he's stealing the angelic being of the inner man out and taking it away. And he's hiding it within the Spirit of God. He's taking it away. He's taking it out of the flesh. How is he doing it? By having become our sin in the image of sin. Coming into this world in the image of the sinful Adam, and was delivered to Calvary for my offenses, and raised in a new form for my justification. Having been tempted in every way, God received that as to take away my sin, and that sin came by one man. God sent one man to bring righteousness. And so then today, death upon all people because of the sins of one man. But I thank God that today there's also life and righteousness upon all of them that believe by the one man, Christ Jesus. So then in seeing this, we say, what does it mean, Brother Pike? Satan, as Job said here, come into the presence of God, because the allotted time of the period of dispensational grace was given to mass humanity. God took away the sins of all the world. And all of the sins of all the world are gone. But it's only for a period of time. It's only a dispensation of grace. A dispensational grace. But beloved friend, to you and I, it is not for a period of time. For there is another thing that is said of grace. And this grace, it is called the grace of God that bringeth salvation or eternal life. And the Bible says, and this grace, not a dispensational grace that they turn into lasciviousness, but he said, and this grace hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that they should deny worldly lust, and that they should turn away from the things of the world, and that they should live godly in Christ Jesus. This grace has appeared unto every man, saying, deny worldly lust and ungodliness and all of these things, that we should live soberly and righteously in the presence of God in this present world. As it was said when John's father prophesied, as the great Holy Spirit came upon him, said him that we should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. I said not too long ago in speaking to you, there's been a great revival. There's been a great tent revival. There's been a great auditorium revival. There's been great television revivals. There's been telethons. There's been all kind of things. There's been great church revivals. And God was in it to this extent, that there were people in there that was called in there that were true believers that got mixed up into that. But much of that went forth was not God. It was the prophets of Baal, the word Baal meaning flesh. It was the prophets of Baal that taught two or three gods. It was ideology, something from back there about 325 AD in the day of Constantine. There, those things that came around as the prophets of Baal. And they've hollered and they've jumped and they've done all kind of things. But nothing didn't happen. The church is still here. The church is still here. I said their sacrifice wasn't accepted. The church is still here. So then nothing happened. They didn't get away. Though they commercialized off of the things of God, as Jesus said, turned the house of God into a money gain, and something for popularity and to see how much offering they could get and build a great kingdom here, there, everywhere, wherever it might be. But see, it didn't work. God didn't accept it. As a matter of fact, it's like the PTL where we spoke of it coming down and God bringing down Jim and those other people. See, it come down. They mocked us in the Carolina Revival. When I said that, some mocked at it. Later I found out they said, God isn't going to bring Jim Baker down. But he did, didn't he? He did, didn't he? I said, God will bring him down. Because it shows that not only that, but see, it is the great falling away. Jim came down. Because we've entered into the great falling away. It's that hour. The man of perdition that sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, he cannot be revealed until there come a great falling away first. So then the great falling away has come. Ministers, hundreds and thousands of people in the world, and especially ministers, they're moving around through the world and they're falling away. This one is falling away and another one is falling away and another one is falling away, and whole churches are beginning to go down and go under. Why? Because they didn't build upon the rock of righteousness and holiness. They built upon the shifting sands of theology. And what they did, they came together, but they didn't come together of God. And they came together against the truth of God. But God said they didn't gather together by me. So then when we think of these things, we realize that Lucifer daily comes into the presence of God. As in the days of Job. You know, it says here, Job was a perfect man. I hear a lot of people say, well, you can't be perfect now, Brother Pike. There's nobody perfect. You know, you never got that from the Bible. You know, the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. You never got that from the Bible. They said, nobody's perfect, but the Bible said Job was a perfect man. Job was a perfect man. The Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. So then, have you ever prayed, God, make me perfect? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Many times I beg God to do that. I say, Lord, I realize that a human being is faulty. I realize that we have no virtue of our own. We have no ability of our own. We can merit nothing of our own. But I say, oh God, make me a perfect man in my generation. Help me, oh God, to be a perfect man in my generation. You say, why do you want to be that, Brother Pike? Because I want to do always the things that please the Father. Jesus did always the things that please the Father. And the Bible said that Jesus was our example, that we ought to follow in his step. There wasn't any sin in his life, neither was guile found in his mouth. Though tempted in every way like I am, yet he was without sin. So then I say, Lord, make me a perfect man in my generation. Another reason that I'd love to be a perfect man in the generation is because in every generation, God brings forth a perfect man. Now you say, why would God do that, Brother Pike? Because God must appear to his people in a human form. He must come down out of heaven in a human form and appear to his people. And in every generation there must be a well that's open. Like in the days of Abraham, a well was open and the enemy took it. And a well was open and the enemy took it. And a well was open and the enemy took it. You know, there came a Baptist, then there came a Methodist, then there came a Presbyterian. And great men of God, according to their measure and understanding, opened many of these wells. But see, the world has taken all of those wells. And they've commercialized off all of those. But like the angel said to my brother just before his death, said, Bethlehem has a good well of water. A good well of water. Hallelujah. Even the angel said it was a good well of water. Hallelujah. So then that last well that was opened up, after a while the children found themselves some water to drink. And it was the best well of all. Hallelujah. The others didn't bother. All of them had their commercial projects going and they didn't care about that little holiness bunch, you know. But like a brother said one time, what they called just nothing in the off-scouring, he said, I have found it to be the cream of the crop. So here it is. Satan, he comes to appear before God. He must give an account. Now, he got in by grace. Grace. God giving grace to my body and to your body as to allow for my body and your body. There was only one way he could do that. That was to kill it through the body of Jesus Christ. And then to bury it in a watery grave in the name of the Lord Jesus. As to the circumcision of the flesh, as to taking away the flesh from the spirit. Burying it, doing away with it. And that ended it. And the law could come no farther. Because the law then was folded up and laid away, because the law judged the flesh. And Paul said, within my flesh there dwells no good thing, for the will is present. But how to perform better in the body, he said, I can't find. It's to the inner man, I delight in the things of God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which has to do with the flesh. In that the flesh was weak and could not perform the things of the law. And Paul said, seeing that the flesh was weak, or the law weak through the flesh, that is to say, it was the flesh's weakness because of the contamination, because of the infiltration. So then, he said, because of this, he said, I can't make my body do what I want to do. What must I do, he said. You know, it was frustrating to him. Oh God, he said, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he got a revelation. He said, I thank God that God made an image of the body of death. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful image, has condemned sin and death, and he has taken it away. I am no longer in the flesh. My body is now buried. It's gone by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then I'm no more in the flesh, Paul said, but I'm in the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm no more that living soul back there that can sin, but I'm now a quickening spirit. Jesus Christ, the second man Adam, made it a quickening spirit. Having passed from death unto life, going from the flesh into the spirit, God has made us a quickening spirit. They that are born of spirit, they are spirit. And so then through that, as in heaven, we are as the angels. We've entered into heaven. Ye are those that dwell in heaven. I've chosen you out of the earth. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. Your angelic being is gone. I say this to you again. Calvary, what was Calvary? The rending of the veil. The unveiling of the glory of God that God had tried to pass down through Moses, bringing a prophet like unto. The glory of that light excelling, but this glory is so much greater because the veil of intellectual reasoning is gone. The Bible said God veils himself in darkness. That is, to get to us, he had to come through that intellectual reasoning. But now the veil is gone and the great light is here. And Paul said that false light, that dark light, is not here anymore. And that light that was so great, even God's light, even a knowledge of God that Satan had known about and came down in this world, still reflects through the veil of intellectual reasoning. As we look at God through the intellectual veil, as the Bible said, we see through a glass darkly, but God has rent the veil now, and the veil is taken away, and the veil is no more. It's gone at Calvary. Now we can see face to face. Now we can enter into the holiest of holies, right into the very presence of God. See, that is to say, the veil is rent. For the Bible said, and Jesus made in himself, I remind you again, he made in himself twain, which means two. And the Bible said, having made in himself both Lord and Christ, now the veil is rent. God has rent the veil in twain. He made in himself twain, and God rent that veil and separated the Lord from the Christ. And when he rent that veil and separated from the Lord from the Christ, down into the earth went the Lord part, and up into the heavens and to the holies of holies went the Christ part. And he did that for me. Ever since that day, though I'd never been born on the scene except in the mind of God, yet he did it for me. Gave it to me by foreknowledge before the world ever was. Paul preached the gospel, and he said, as many as were before of old ordained unto eternal life, they believed. So then God rent that veil for me. That is, he separated my spirit from my body, my angelic being on the inside. And he took my angelic being into heaven with Christ. And I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the restoring of all things. And so then in that angelic place, I am sealed with the great Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, the evil one toucheth me not. Satan never touches us. Never has Satan ever touched that belonged to God. Before the world ever was, the Lamb was slain in the mind of God, and God's people was preserved that they would never be touched by that defiling hand of Lucifer, that we might be the great, wonderful bride of Christ, the spotless one, the virtuous one, the woman whose price is far beyond that of rubies. And so then God has preserved us in his foreknowledge. God has done that for us. This is the thing that thrills me, to know that God has done this for me. And so then we see this wonderful thing. God has rent the veil in two. They sang that song, He hath rent the veil in two. And Paul said, having made a more sure way, giving us a more sure word of prophecy, now the true light shine. That is to say, the unveiled light. And the glory of this light is so great. So then this true light is now shining. Now has come your time. Your light is now to shine. Put on your beautiful garments, even the body of the Lord Jesus. Let the light of this great understanding, the mind of Christ, come forth. And all of this revival that we've had out there is going to be swallowed up, and those things of Baal are going to be taken away. And at the evening time, folks, how many of you know it's evening time? At the evening time, I say again, old brother Elijah, he stayed with the word of God. He gave his sacrifice at the time appointed, just like the word of God had said according to Moses. He didn't try to do anything until that evening time. He knew the time of God. He knew the time of the move of God. People say, oh, the move of God. But brother, let me tell you something. It's not the move of God. It's not the move of God unless it's the word of God. When it's God's word, then it's the move of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise. Let's give God a hand. Somebody act like in camp meeting. Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, I feel good, don't you? I feel good. Hallelujah. If I get a little excited, just bear with me. And old brother Elijah, he just kept holding on. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, he began to move. The glory of God began to move. Don't you feel him moving? The Holy Ghost began to move. All of a sudden, the Bible said, "In gross darkness shall cover them in the evening time. But at that time there shall come to pass to be light, the day star springing forth in your heart, even the Lord Jesus. I'll give you the bright and the morning star, the day star of that great, wonderful, revelating mind of Jesus Christ coming into your life, coming into your heart." Here he comes, folks. He's coming in, standing at the heart's door, knocking. Solomon said, "I looked, and there he was." Oh, there he was in the night. Oh, he was so beautiful. Glory to God, he was so beautiful. I said, you know, in my last sermon, the voice of the turtle heard in the lamb, the turtle dove cooing to you. Don't you hear him cooing to you? And he said, I looked out there, he said, he was so beautiful. He took my breath away. Said, and I looked, and the dewdrops was in his logs. You know, this is the sad part. We are responsible for him being locked outside, knocking at the heart's door, in the intellectual darkness, out in the darkness. And he said, and the dewdrops was in his logs. And said, he reached to get the handle of the door. And he said, his hand just dripped, like with honey, with the sweetness of that wonderful thing that we speak of as the myrrh, just dropping with honey and the sweetness of God. So he reached to get the door. And he said, I was so moved. My, what a thought. See, Solomon entered into that place. He saw him through that great wisdom. He saw this wonderful Jesus that we love. Folks, don't ever think he's going to fail to come back. He's going to come back. Oh, brother Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For he said, in the last days I'll stand upon this earth, and he's going to stand there, and I'm going to see him for myself and not another. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good, folks? To know he's coming back, the one that you love and the one that you adore. Hallelujah. Your heart's yearning for and longing for. Say, well, I like the preacher. I like this. I like that. That's fine. But like the songwriter said, he outshined them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The full measure of that light and that glory. Our Heavenly Father within his lovely Son. All right, let's go just a little bit farther. I'm going to try not to hold you long tonight. So then we see where we're at. What is this of Jim Baker and the others? And I'm not down on Jim. But what is this of Jim Baker and the others? It is that second heaven that Satan has built. It's that second heaven. It's that religious heaven. It's that middle wall of partition that's between the first heaven and the control of the earth as to being the head of the earth, as to God being with them and their inheritance in the natural. See, it's that middle rim of partition that's between that natural earth of that natural blessing from God and that spiritual blessing of the angelic world. See, God has the threefold blessing is to bless you in the natural with your natural substance, houses, lands, cars, whatever. And then he has a second blessing. which is the physical blessing of health to enjoy it. And then the third blessing of the eternal blessing of the Spirit as to an eternal security for eternal preservation of all these things He's created for you. So then Satan getting in between battled the Jews, the serpent having climbed up into the upper lintel, getting up there in dignitaries and powers. And the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against each other, but we're wrestling against spiritual powers of wickedness that's in high places. And we're there to cast him down. You can do it, folks, casting down imagination. See the stronghold of Lucifer. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, as to fear, as to poverty, as to sickness, as to doubt, whatever it might be, corruption. So then when we see this, we see the war in heaven. And there's the old dragon. Remember that now. See, in that second heaven, there's the first heaven of an inheritance that God promised to the Jews through Abraham. They're going to get it, folks. It's that land. It's going to be turned back into the garden as it was in the beginning when God so loved the earth before the curse. Now, they're going to get it. And you and I, which belong to another dimension, could never be satisfied with those temporal natural things. And we're going to have that great, wonderful, angelic world. For in heaven there are the angels. They cannot die. So we're going to have that world. Oh, you don't know how much of you got it right now. See, but we're going to have that world. But in between that world, especially as we would say from the Eastern world, as to the Jewish people, salvation of the Jews. Over here to the Western world of the woman and the seed being sown, and all of a sudden the blood shed, travail of the evening time, and the man-child coming forth from the woman. Moving back now, Gentiles overrunning that country over there. Moving back, that man-child being caught up to the throne. What is it? Christ, the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, we could preach all night just bringing out a few types and shadows here. But the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it? That ark riding over the wrath of God, sitting down on the other side, going down there, that Jesus might sit down in the throne of that great millennium on this earth right here, that we might crown him Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. All right, so then you say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying Revelation 12. There it is, the old red dragon. What is the old red dragon? John called him a generation of vipers. That old red dragon is the bloodline. Got his start in the garden. Everything from Calvary that's under the law, and when I say from Calvary back, I'm speaking of those that continue under the law today. The Bible said everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law, and it's the law of sin and death, and you shall be judged thereby. So then, what is it? It's the old red dragon, but from Calvary, he's killed, he's cast out. He was cast out. Revelation 12. You know, you can't comprehend it unless you come into the Spirit. And when you do comprehend it, the world will be over. Because all we're waiting for now is for the saints, the membership of the body, to comprehend it. And then the head will come right back, the capstone, crying, grace, grace, grace. So then he was rejected by the Jews as to Calvary. But he won't be rejected by you and I. We're receiving him. Paul rejected by the Jews. But he said, I go to the Gentiles. So then, with this thing moving like it is, we're right there on the verge of the coming of the Son of God. So the old red dragon is laid in there. And I want to say this to you again, and I hope you can get a hold of it. The old red dragon was laying in there. Where was that dragon? The Bible said here that Satan came before God. Where was he at? He was in the second heaven. He was in heaven. I'm going to say this again. Some of you don't agree with me, and it's okay. It's okay. But I'm telling you again, the dragon is that old generation of vipers. The dragon is that old blood life that went from the new birth or the way of God's birth of the Spirit into that natural reproduction of life. The old blood life. That's why that the Gentiles are in the world of blood. That is to say, the medical profession trying to preserve life. Always the blood life, trying to keep the blood life up, the jogging and all these things that pertain to the flesh, because Satan being the prince of this world, he savors the things that be of the flesh. See the middle wall of partition. Jesus rent the veil, and the Bible said to make a more sure way in. That is to say, through the veil of his flesh. He rent the veil, even the intellectual veil. Not that God is upset with you and I, because of our body, for our body is the temple of God. But the infiltration of the mind of Lucifer, I say this so often, one brain, three minds, and they all use the same brain. And this is where the problem comes in. If you don't understand, if you can't discern, you don't know whether it's the devil using your brain or your spirit using your brain or God using your brain. Same way when you have a dream, you don't know where it's from unless you understand. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is this, beloved friend. See Revelation 12. And there it is, the old blood life laying in there. Where is the dragon? Where is this blood life? It's the serpent that's climbed up into the upper lintel. And here he is in heaven. He is in heaven. He's got religious protection. He's in heaven. And here John saw him there. When he saw the revelation a few short years after the expose of Calvary, that's what the revelation was. Got 96 A.D., exiled to that little island, the Isle of Patmos. There he was looking, and he saw it in heaven. See, the dragon, what was it? It was that old blood life laying in there. The woman was in travail. The church, I know it's to Israel, I know it's to the natural, speaking of the spiritual now. To you that are spiritual, Paul said, I like to speak unto you as spirituals. So then, there was the woman. What was wrong with her? She was heavy with child. And the Bible said when Mary went up there to Bethlehem, where we was a few weeks ago, over in Israel, went up there and there it was, heavy with child, time for her delivery. Her delivery was at hand. No place, just a little old manger. But see, there it was, coming up there, time for the Messiah. Hallelujah! Glory to God! When we went out there on the hillside and saw where them shepherds was, and here this great angel of light appeared, and the light shined round about them, and a voice said, "Peace on earth! Goodwill toward men." Folks, it's been goodwill toward man ever since. He ain't never changed his mind. He ain't never changed his opinion. The devil might beat on you. He might cause you trouble. He might harass you. He might cause you problems. But God's mind has never changed. It's just your mind that's up and down and in and out. And when you get straightened out without wavering to trust in the glory of God, everything's going to be all right, as the songwriter said. So then, let's go on for a few minutes now. There's the dragon. He's laying in there. See, he's waiting. He's waiting. What is he waiting there for? See, the woman's going to bring forth a man-child. What does he want? He's wanting a ball player. Hallelujah. Got to have somebody to jog. Want somebody to race. Come on, folks. Got to make $1 million. Hallelujah. Glory. The old red dragon laying in there waiting to convert that mind or to pervert that mind. To take him out there to show him all the world like he did Jesus, to try to make a dignitary out of him. To give the woman a career instead of doing what she should do as a natural mother. Seeing these things, the old blood life waiting to devour. Every time you get a convert, waiting to devour. Bring the pool rooms in, bring the world in, bring the things of the world in, try to mix darkness with light. See? But the Bible says that when that man-child came, it was different. That old dragon reached out to get a ball player and just away he went. Way up here. Sitting up here. He didn't want to play ball. Folks, I ain't got time to play ball. Somebody say praise the Lord. I ain't got time to be taking fishing trips and going hunting. Oh, somebody said, wait now, Brother Pike. You got on my trail right there. Well, let's just stay right on and keep right on the way. I said, I ain't got time to be fishing and hunting. That's all right if you want to do that. That's your business. But I haven't got time to do that. I got to be about my Father's business. If a man wants to go out there and get away with God, that's fine. Throw your gun on your shoulder. Go out there. It's fine. It's okay with me. You know, if you're going out there for God, do all things that's under the Lord. That's your business. If you want to make $1 million, if you're making it to give to God and give to the poor and give to the hungry and publish the gospel, and you're not just using that as a front, so that you can make money to make money to make money, then I'm for you. You know, if that's what God's called you to, let every man abide in his calling. But this is what I'm saying. So then the red dragon was there to devour the child. But folks, when that child went up to the heaven, and I'm saying this, when you get in the mind of Christ, when you take this third third way of life, that third mind, that one, two, three of those minds, when you get into that third mind, you're going to rule with a rod of iron. You're not going to be confused. You're not going to wonder what it's all about, where you came from and who you are and where you're headed. You're not going to wonder about that. You're not going to wonder if you have to go to some bald-headed professor to get him to give you a piece of paper to stamp his name on it, you know, to know what you're doing. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's one of the most, I don't like to use that word. I always back up from that word. But anyway, that's just not too good. All right, men measure themselves by themselves. They're not wise, the Bible said. We are after a diplomacy, but this diplomacy as to a graduation to Godship and the sonship, as to a graduality, coming into the great wonderful diplomacy of God, that we might be about our Heavenly Father's business. In this, we find that all of a sudden, there was a war. When this child was born, when he went up to heaven, he began to call things into order. And there was a war. I mean a war. And Michael the angel came over, and he started fighting against Lucifer and the angels of God. As in the days of Daniel, when old Daniel was fasting and praying, calling on God, and that angel came sweeping down out of heaven. And when he came down, intercepted by the powers of Lucifer and the angels. My God, what a war. What a war. You're talking about a war? The war that we're having, you know, the natural spilling of the blood, these kind of things. You wait till angel begins to wrestle with angel, and angel begin to fight with angel. And these angels begin to war, and old Daniel just kept on praying, saying, God, I need you. God, I got to have help. Like old Jacob kept wrestling with the angel. The angel said, let me go, Jacob. He said, not until you bless me. Not until you bless me. Wrestled all night long. Folks, the Bible said that the ministers of God should lay in the altars all night long. It said, howl, you ministers. Howl, you ministers, for that which is coming upon my people. Pray. You say, I'm a minister. Give me a Cadillac. I'm a minister. I've got to have a big tent. I'm a minister. I've got to have all the publicity. All of these things. Brother, what you need is the good old-fashioned faith, and you need to be laying in the altar all night long, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. That's what a ministry is. Right there. That's where the ministry is, right there. He said, I'll take away these shepherds, and I'll raise up a real move of God and a real holy people, and I'll raise up ministers that will feed my sheep. So then, when this war started, out went Lucifer. The angel came sweeping down to Daniel and said, I'm here, Daniel. So I tried to get to you before, but said I couldn't get past that prince of Persia. I couldn't get past them fellas. I had to go back and get some help. And when I got help, we broke through, Daniel. You know, back there, you remember the kingdoms of Persia? The Medes and the Persians? See, kingdoms have demon rules. They have demon powers of authority. And there those angels was. That was their playground back there. Satan had said, you take this. You take this. And there they were as the prince of Persia, and they ruled and they led men, and they controlled men to the way that they wanted to, war, whatever their excitement was that they desired. See, the Bible said, and the people of this world taken into captivity at the will of Satan. So then there they were, and when the angel came down, no doubt that demon spirit, that angel began to fly up and said, hey, wait a minute, this is my kingdom down here. This is my palace. Don't you come down here, tearing up my playground. And that angel fought. Another one of them demons came up. And that angel couldn't get through. Another one came up. But all of a sudden, when he went back and he called for that heavenly host, and he got old brother Michael and whoever he was up there, we say angelically speaking, and they begin to wade through there, and they begin to come through there. Devils and demons begin to fly away like blackbirds. Hallelujah! But it was Daniel held on. Glory to God, he fasted, he held on. He didn't get melancholy and say, somebody hurt my feelings. He held on. And that angel came sweeping down through there and said, here we are, Daniel. Said, I heard you the first day, but I couldn't get down here. But I'm here now. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Said, that prince over there withstood me. Well, we took care of that. Hallelujah. You believe God's able to take care of it? So then when the man-child was caught up to the throne, there was a great war and Lucifer went out. Listen to me, folks. At Calvary, he went out. Jesus said, I beheld him fall from heaven as lightning. And I destroyed him that hath power over death. But we've not comprehended it. Our generation had not yet come. Now it is. So then now at this time, the sevenfold light, the fullness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. And so here we are now. See right there, transformating, changing, everything transformating, changing. Even to the extent that Jesus walked so close to God that he just transfigured it like Enoch and went right into glory. Right into glory, saying you don't have to die to get in. That's not the way. You die because of sin and I've taken that away. Paul said, I tell you a mystery. I've done discovered something. We all are not going to die or we're not all going to sleep. And I could say something here concerning passion from death unto life, but we got it on tape. You've heard it. Pass on to try to complete my thought right quick here now. What is it? Lucifer was cast out. Cast out. Now we begin to comprehend it. Comprehend it. I'm not going to go into a lot of thought of things here that we could go into. I'm going to close. But I do want to say this to you. See, he's been cast out. The veil is rent in twain. I don't want to elaborate on that either. But the veil is rent in twain. What is it? He has been cast out. The accuser of the brethren. Now has come power. Christ, Calvary, he that receives the Holy Ghost, now has come power. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now has come power. Them apostles, they demonstrated, they had it, they enjoyed it. See, but come on down to the church age, to the end of the church age. Come on down now to them others that are ready to come into this. Ready to come into this great revelational knowledge of moving in heaven and knowing who they are. You're talking about a time in God. How God, folks, if one can put 1,000 to fight, 2, 10,000, what can you and I do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, if I was just as great as them prophets, Brother Pike, then I'd do it. But let me tell you something. The Bible said, wasn't none of them no greater than John. But nevertheless, them Bethlehemites are greater, he said. Come on now. Hallelujah. Somebody said, bless God, I ain't a Bethlehemite, Brother Pike. Well, you're not born of God. How do you know Jesus was a Bethlehemite? Hallelujah. So then we're moving on in God. And I'm saying this to you tonight, beloved children of God. I'm saying this to you tonight. But he's been cast out for your good. And you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. He's gone. But let me say this. You may not believe that the people out there are in a heaven. But I'm telling you again, humanity is in heaven. Somebody says, bless God with this troubled world. I said, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. And I'm going to say this again to you. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's think it over now. Let's think it over. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. Folks, as long as you can get something to ease the pain, and I know it's running out. The Bible said that day there'll be no healing medicine. That heavenly thing is beginning to move because where there's knowledge is required and heaven begins to move away. But I'm telling you, you've been in heaven and you are in heaven. See, you say, well, I don't believe that. I can't tell that. I said, okay. Like I told my wife, I said, Betty, listen. I said, we can't have proper evaluation of heavenly things because we are earthly oriented. And we are under the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world. The creature being subject to the vanities of this world. I said, we don't see and we don't taste and we don't feel and we don't get into that world to see how much more glorious it is. So our evaluation is improper. That's from a human standpoint. We must get into it to see how much greater. So then that's the way it is. So you've never been to hell yet. Come on. I said, you've never been to hell yet. Your evaluation of things is improper because you've never been to hell yet. But friend, when you get in hell where there's not a drop of water, and when you get in hell to where there's no relief from pain, and you get into hell where people are gnashing on you with their teeth, and you get into hell where you'll never have any relief anymore, then you'll know that you've been in heaven. You'll know that you've been in heaven then. You'll be able to differentiate between heaven and hell. What heaven is it, Brother Pike? That heaven that has to do with Jim Baker and the fall, the great falling away. It is the second heaven. All right, let's stand together. We can say a whole lot about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. But you've been a good audience tonight. You've listened. You've been patient with me. A little bit tired, but you've encouraged me. And you've been a real good audience. And I trust that something has been said that might be inspiring to you. Remember, everybody isn't going to be the bride of Christ. I've heard for quite a number of years the bride of Christ and people talking about being the bride of Christ, and that's fine. I have nothing against it. That's their business. They feel that way. That's good. Some of them say we're going through the tribulation. That's their business. You know, say, well, do you believe that they're going through the... I have people to ask me this. Do you believe they're going through the tribulation, Brother Pike? I believe that he said, according to your faith, if that's what they believe, tribulation be unto you. You know, according to your faith, just whatever you believe. If you believe you're going through the tribulation, why should I say that God wouldn't allow you to do it? That's the way you believe. I don't believe I'm going through the tribulation. I got some other plans. According to my faith, be it unto me too. Why should you dispute with me? Say, according to my faith. So, whatever you might think about it, that's up to you. But this I am saying, one thing for sure, God has the right way, folks. God has the right way, and this is His way. And this is the way of the cross. This is the Word way. I've said this a time or two, not to be sacrilegious or to accuse or blast somebody. That's not God's way. Even though sometimes we have to get kind of strong. Yet, I'm saying this. So many people in the world today, and you know this is the truth, they say, I don't preach doctrine. I've had them to tell me that. I don't preach doctrine. Now, I don't mean this sacrilegious. I don't mean this to be evil. I don't mean this against any individual, but against the devil that they give place to. When a man tells you that, he is either off base in his understanding, might be a good man and don't understand, and needs somebody to correct him, as it was with Apollos when they told him the way more clearly. See? Or either he's of the devil. Any man that don't preach doctrine, if he's coming to the understanding of God, he is of the devil. Any man that tells you that he don't preach doctrine, and any man that'll let a man preach for him that tells him he don't preach doctrine is of the devil. Come on, folks. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? Who can I teach doctrine? Got anybody here that God can teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, but let's grow into the doctrine and have the meat. And the Bible said, abide in the doctrine of Christ. Don't transgress. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath Christ. And so then, this wonderful doctrine of the Lord. The Bible said, and they abode steadfastly in the apostolic doctrine. So then as to the Word, which is our doctrine, not some idea, but the Word. That's our doctrine. He that God sends will speak God's Word. Faith by the hearing of the Word. Let me pass on to this right quick. Faith by the hearing of the Word. Isn't that right? I believe that's true. In the latter days, many will depart from the doctrine, which is the Word. Isn't that right? They'll be believers, but the devil believes too. That don't mean nothing. You've got to have His Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, you're not of His. See, passing on, it is the Word of God. Faith by the hearing of the Word. In the last days, they'll depart from the Word. Depart from the faith. Ideology. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Somebody says, I don't preach doctrine. Yes, you do. You preach a doctrine of the devil. That's what you preach. You just don't preach the doctrine of God. The mere fact that you left off with the Word of God means that you're carrying the wrong thing. And if I bid you Godspeed, I'm partakers of your evil. Now, so then I'm going to say this, as I've said a number of times to you. When I read a little article in the paper, and this really hit hard over in Israel when I said this in that Baptist church. As a matter of fact, the preacher just stopped. The interpreter just stopped. And this is way down. He didn't say nothing. I was just a preaching and he wasn't interpreting nothing. And he just sat there. It took the wind clear out of his sails. And then he got his sails and he began to interpret again. Like a man that had resurrected from the dead and let me know he was laying in there with me. But I made this statement, and I'm sure that you'll agree with me. They published this little article in the paper, and they said, going to be a great time asking for prayer and union of people, and I'm glad for that. But they said, we're coming together. All faiths of the earth are coming together. The Mohammedans, the Confucius, you know, all these things begin to come together. And I read it. Numbers of them they named. And when I got through, I said, no, no, never be a day like that. I said, ain't no such thing. And some, of course, they want to question that. Why is that, Brother Pike? But I said, because of this. There is no such thing as all faith. The Bible said one faith, one God, one baptism, one Lord God of heaven. To love the Lord thy God with all the heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love him with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbors thyself. The great commandments. I said it'll never be a day like that. I said there might be a day, and there will be a day, when people of the one faith, all of them shall come together, but not people of all faiths, because there is no all faith. So then, that means, beloved friend, if you walk with the ungodly, then are ye ungodly, for two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And if you agree with that, to call that the faith, then ye are just as ungodly as they are, because if you bid anything Godspeed that's evil, you're partakers of it. So are ye if you bid things Godspeed that are good. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Oh, come into my heart. Sing it with me now. Come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. And come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. For you, and although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you, at the cross, at the cross. Where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Love him. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready. Wait, can you say amen? If you believe that, say hallelujah. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready. Can you sing with me again? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, I'll be ready when the bride, hallelujah. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. One more time. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The altars are open. If you'd like to come tonight, if you have something that you'd like to talk with God about, I invite you to come.
Come on down, folks. Come on down. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Come on down. Sing it with me now. I will praise Him. Oh, I will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Glory to God. Could you sing it just one more time with me, folks? And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. To praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Don't you feel good, folk? If you feel good, lift up your hands to the Lord. I don't want your gold or silver. Sing it with me now. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He said, sing it with me, can you? Oh, we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He's everything. Well, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. You love Him? Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's, come on, folks, sing it with me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Let's sing it again. I want that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. For it's good. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And sing it with me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will keep us all from dying. It will keep us all from dying. It will keep us all from dying. And it's, sing it with me again. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's great. Can you give Him a hand? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like that old time religion. Don't you like that old time religion? I found a new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in the heavenlies, in Jesus Christ.
I want to sing one more chorus together, can we?
I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Sing one more time.
For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home in the sky, up there.
I want you to sing it with me one more time. You love the Lord, sing it with me.
For I'm longing for Jesus to come back.
Brother Taylor.
I long for Jesus Christ, my friend,